Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of John, first chapter. We started last week looking at this Gospel, and the opening 18 verses really are considered to be the prologue, the introduction to the book, and they are some of the richest in Scripture. You could probably take these 18 verses and spend countless days, weeks, months trying to find all the truths and the beauty in them. We don't have that long, I don't guess. And so, unless you just want to stay here all day. And I don't think I have the talent to be able to dig into all the riches this great introduction. Last week we looked at the opening, and John opens his book a little differently than the other gospel writers. He doesn't spend any time talking about the manger and wise men and shepherds and angels and stars. He begins his introduction of Christ with that great statement, "In the beginning was the Word." And that's how he introduces Christ. And so we have that introduction. And I don't know how you read it, but when I read this chapter and I read these verses, there is a place here that strikes me. Have you ever ridden with someone who was learning to drive a straight drive vehicle? Or maybe you were the one trying to learn to drive a straight drive. You know, it's kind of a little bit of a rough ride. Verse 6 is a little bit like that. We've got these five verses that open up with these great words about "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the light, and everything that was made by Him, you know, everything is held together by Him." And we've just got this great this pinnacle of description of Jesus Christ in these opening five verses, and you just kind of expect the build to continue. You expect John just to continue with his great description and explanation of Jesus Christ. And then when we get to verse 6, again, it's like somebody in a straight drive vehicle for a moment. It's kind of, and then it kind of smooths back out for a second. But verse 6 begins with these words, that there was a man. And it's kind of, wait a minute. We were discussing the Word. We were discussing God. We were discussing the one that created everything. We were reading about the one who holds everything together. Who is this man, and what's he got to do with the story? Where did he come from? It almost seems to be a fly in the ointment, if you will. It's just kind of, wait a minute. Now, once you read a little bit, it's, oh, okay, I get it. But for a moment, it's a little bit of a curveball. It comes out of nowhere. We're, again, on the mountaintop, thinking about Christ and the description of Christ. And then, oh, by the way, there was a man. And again, it just kind of, at first glance, it's a little bit startling to come across that statement. But then we begin to read and we understand that this man was John the Baptist. And so not only that, it's a little confusing. We're reading John writing about John, and so it's a little bit, takes a moment, it's kind of like coming from the darkness into the light. All of a sudden, the scene shifts so dramatically that it's a little bit shocking for us. And I think the question that has to be asked, I think the question that comes up when we read this chapter is to look at this and to be, have to ask the question, after five verses of this great description of Jesus Christ, after five verses of reading about the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, and He created everything and the light of the world, and in verse 6 we come to this man. And I think the question that has to be asked when we see that is, why this man? What is it that got this man? What is it that caused him to get, if you will, second billing, that got him on the stage with Jesus Christ? In the middle of the introduction of Jesus Christ, in the middle of John saying, I want to introduce you to God Himself and also to this man. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me ask the question, it kind of makes my mind get the whirling a little bit. Why this man? Of all the people that, if John was going to interrupt his introduction of Jesus Christ to introduce someone, why this man? Why him? Of all the people he could have chosen, of all the people, all the men and women that could have been introduced to us at this moment in the story, why this one? What is it about this man that makes him the choice, that led the Holy Spirit of God to move on John in such a way that in the middle of introducing Jesus Christ, he says, and by the way, I want you to meet John the Baptist. Think about that for a moment. Let's try to put that into some kind of modern context. Let's say, for example, just suppose Jesus came and spent a week or two at your house. And came over and just stayed with you for a few weeks. And during his stay at your house, you would go out to the store, you would go various places, and you would take Jesus with you. And he would go along, and he would go to the store with you. He would go to work with you. Think about how awkward, it would be. How if you were to go to work and you were to take Christ with you and say, "Man, come here, everybody! I want y'all to meet somebody, and you know, I want y'all to meet Jesus Christ. I want you to meet God Himself. I want you to meet the one that put the world together, that holds the world together. And oh, by the way, this is Martin." Even Zelda thinks that's funny. Think about that for a moment. That's what we've got here. He just introduced Christ. And then he says, oh, by the way, this is John. I think that deserves some attention. I think that deserves an answer. I want us to look this morning at these three verses that introduced John in the middle of the introduction of Jesus Christ, and I want you to see why that is important. I believe the reason that it is important is that John is a model for us of what every believer ought to be. Not that John was perfect, not that John was flawless, not that John had any God-like characteristics of his own, but I think John is a model for us of what a believer is to be, and that is quite simply that we are to be messengers. John, we know him, the word we use to describe John the Baptist, we describe him as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. John's message, if you remember, as Christ came to John to be baptized, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John was a messenger that brought the world the news about Jesus Christ. There's three things that I think are important here for us to understand about the making of this messenger. What makes this messenger, what makes this man the one that gets this billing here in verse 6, five verses into the introduction of Jesus Christ, we meet this man, John. Why John? Why him? First of all, I think it is because of the person. Notice what this passage says, and there's quite a contrast if you look at it. If you read it all together, there's really something that should, anyway, I believe, kind of, you know, just stop you, kind of pop you between the eyes. We've had this marvelous, this elegant description of Jesus. The Word was with God, the Word was God, in Him all things were made, He's the light of the world, and we've got this marvelous, just amazing description of Jesus Christ, and then we get this description of John. There was a man. Do you notice a little bit of disparity in the description? Yeah. Do you notice a little bit of a difference in their introduction? Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you Jesus Christ, the greatest, the bestest, all there ever was, and John. Yeah, and that's kind of the way that those verses read. Well, what is it about the person of John? What is it about this man, John? I think there's several things that we notice, and one of them is that very fact that he is just a man. That John is just a man. He is just an ordinary, walking, talking, breathing man. That in those first five verses, we have this amazing description of Jesus Christ, of His authority, of His power, of His eternality, of all these things about Jesus Christ that are consumed in these five verses. But then we come to this passage. It says that John was just a man. Just a man. That John was just an ordinary man. So, well, as we begin to think about what it is that makes John special, what makes John special is that he wasn't special. What makes John unique is that he was just a man. In other words, John didn't have wings. John didn't have a halo. John didn't walk, you know, John didn't levitate 2 feet off the ground when he walked around. John was just a man. But notice what it says about that man. He was a man who was sent from God. That's what makes John distinctive. That's what makes John special, is that he was a man sent from God. And that word sent is one that that really this verse rises and falls on that simple little word sent. Now, for you and I, sent, it may not be a huge word. It's four little letters. I've talked before about, you know, there are words in the Bible that we never use. Sent is a word we use. We talk about sent. But this word is a special word. When it says that this man was sent from God. That idea of the word sent, it's again, we have this contrast between the man and the Word. And the man was sent from the Word. The man was sent from God. And that word sent, as the word there, again, is a word that not just sent, but the two words that follow it, he was sent from God. Now, that changes everything about John. That changes everything about this ordinary man. This is a man who was sent from God. For example, someone who sent someone, it changes everything. It's the dividing line. If someone comes up to you and says, you need to work over today, you need to stay an extra hour. Well, who do you think you are telling me to stay an hour? Oh, well, the boss sent me to tell you to stay. Oh, okay, that's different. Yeah, that's different. Yeah, if I tell Archie, if I say to Archie, you need to do so-and-so, and he'll look at me funny. I said, Kathy told me to tell you. Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, he'd get to stepping. Yeah, when it's all in who sent you. Yeah, it's all in who sent the message. Yeah, the message is not as important as it is who sent you to give that message. I can walk up to Archie all day long and say, Archie, give me $20, and Archie wouldn't do nothing. I say, Archie, Kathy said, take a $20 bill and strike a match to it. Yeah, that $20 bill toast. Yeah, cause Kathy said. It's all in who sent. John is just a man, but he was sent from God. Now that word sent is a really special word. That word sent means that he was commissioned. It means that he was an envoy. It means that he had the authority. It means that he had the power. One of the things that I remember years ago being taught about management is that you can designate authority, but you can't designate responsibility. In other words, if you're in charge at work and you leave, you have to go somewhere, you can say, Archie, you're in charge. That means Archie has the authority to do what you're in charge. But if Archie messes up, who's responsible? Exactly. John is just a man. But he is sent from God. He has authority to proclaim this message. This word sent is an amazing word. It means that he is a representative. You've seen examples before where, for example, maybe someone of some authority, some notoriety dies, and the president won't go, but he will send the vice president. He's a representative. And if the vice president goes to that funeral and he dances around the casket with a light lampshade on his head, who is that a reflection of? That's going to come back on the president for sending that man. And so when this passage says he's just a man, but he is sent from God. He has the authority of going. That word sent, it means literally to be sent from the side of. And so all of a sudden we have this great description of Christ, and then we have this man, but then we understand something about the person that we're talking about. This was just an ordinary man with an extraordinary mission. This was an ordinary man with an extraordinary message. And we began to look at that and think for a moment, what's the difference in John and you? What's the difference in John the Baptist and me? Don't we all have the exact same message? Are we all assigned the exact same task? You may be just a man. You may think sometimes, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to tell people about Christ. I don't know how to be. Listen, John was just a man. We don't read about John's degrees. We don't read about John's wealth. We don't read about John's notoriety. We don't read about John's position in the community. When we're introduced to John, we're introduced to him this way. There was a man. The thing that distinguishes this man from all others was he was sent from God. He was sent from God. I want you to notice something about it. We find out this man was sent from God before we even find out who his name was. We find out who sent him before we even find out who he is. We find out who he's from. So, in other words, John is making it very clear, the gospel writer John is making it very clear to us, what is important is who sent us. Now, that's what matters. And you and I, again, why is this man so important? Why is he interjected in verse 6 of this story? Why immediately after hearing about the Word and the Word that was God, the Word that was with God, do we hear about this man that was sent from God? Because I believe this is part of the reason. If you read through the Gospels, you'll find out that Jesus, as a general rule, did everything he could to avoid notoriety. In fact, many times we see Jesus, when the crowd gathered, he'd cut out. He would leave. He would do his best to avoid the crowd. He spent much of his time surrounded by a handful of people. And so, if anyone was going to learn about Christ, how were they going to learn? They were going to learn by those who had been sent from God. Now, here's where the rubber really hits the road in this understanding of John being a man sent from God. When we look around our world today, when we look at what's going on in America, when we look at what's going on in the world, we look at the lack of evangelism, we look at the lack of people coming to know Jesus Christ, we look at the absence of people telling people about Jesus Christ, we have to ask ourselves, why? Is it that we're not still sent? Are we not still messengers? Are we not supposed to still be sharing the gospel and taking the good news of Jesus Christ with us into our workplace, into our communities, into our homes, into our families? Are we not still supposed to be about that? Well, here's the only conclusion you can come with. You can only And this is blunt. I know this before I say it. You can only be sent from God if you've been with God. You can only be sent from God if you have been with God. Write that in your Bibles. Write that on your heart. Write that in the palm of your hand. Hang it on your refrigerator. You can only be sent from God if you have been with God. Can I submit to you that maybe the problem, maybe the reason we don't have messengers, maybe the reason we're not spending, making much of a difference in a dark, bleak, sinful world is because we're not spending any time with God, therefore we don't have a message from God. Could that be the problem? Could that be the issue in the church in 2017? Could that be what has brought us to the condition of the church in America in 2017, is that we're spending more time with sports, we're spending more time at dance, we're spending more time at gymnastics, we're spending more time on work, we're spending more time in the news, we're spending more time on politics, we're spending more time everywhere else than we are with God, and therefore our message isn't about God. If someone who did not know you met you for the first time and spent 10 minutes with you, when they walked away at the end of those 10 minutes, what would they say were the three most important things in your life? Work, family, grandchildren. What would it be? What would the world, what would those who know us best say is the most important thing in our life? See, there's little doubt in my mind. I know this from my own life. I know this from experience, from talking to a lot of other people, being around a lot of people. What is important to you will come out. It will. Sooner or later, sooner most likely, what matters to you will come out. And so John was sent from God. How could he be sent from God? Because he'd been spending time with God. I had a little bit of time yesterday. Most of y'all know I don't have a lot of family. Only child, I'm an only child. We just don't have a lot. We could have our family reunion in a closet. We just don't have much. But I don't even know what she would be to me. My grandma's sister, whatever that makes her. I have no idea. My daddy's mother's sister, whatever that makes her to me, if anything, I don't know. But she was in town this weekend, and it is her 90th birthday. And he'd be a cousin. I just don't know what number he is. It'd be somewhere down. Called me and told me that she was going to be at his house. And so I went up there. One of my other cousins was there, and I haven't seen Dennis in ages. Archie's probably seen Dennis since I have. I didn't tell you the last time I saw him. And when we were there, I finally got at a point where I was speaking to Dennis. And I shook his hand and said, "How's it going, Dennis?" First words out of his mouth, "It's great. I got saved 4 years ago, and it's great." What's in here will come out. John was a messenger because he had a message. What makes a messenger? Why are we not messengers? Because we haven't spent any time with God to get the message. We know more about the politics in Russia. We know more about sports statistics. We know more about dance recitals. We know more about roads being built. And we know more about the weather. We spend more time there than we do with God. Not an amen in the house. I must be in somebody's business. The person, he was a man sent from God. Why was he sent from God? Why do we need people to spend time with God so they can be sent from God? Not only do we see the person, but you see the purpose. Look what? He says, this same man, he came to bear for a witness, to bear a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. What is the purpose of the messenger? This man came to bear witness. What is a witness? Now, I'm thinking that most everyone in here has seen, you know, Perry Mason or Ben Matlock or somebody. You may have been blessed and not have to spend any time ever in a courtroom, but you've watched old Perry or Ben or one of them, and you know, you've seen a court case. And you know what happens when they put somebody on the witness stand and they say, tell us what happened on the night of January the 3rd. And if that person sitting on the stand starts out like this, well, on January the 3rd, Kevin told me that as soon as he says that, what's the other law you're going to do?
Hearsay.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah. I wasn't quite expecting an answer that quick. I don't know what that means. But, you know, but what does a witness get on the stand and tell? What they saw. They can tell what they personally knew. Now, if they heard the gunshot, they can say, I heard a gunshot. But they can't say, Kevin said he heard a gunshot. So a witness, again, we come back to this understanding that John was sent from God. What? To be a witness. To tell what he knew about the light of the world. That was what John's job was. Listen, understand this. John's job was not to preach. John's job was not to invite people to church. John's job was not to invite people to Sunday school or to committee meeting or Baptist men or WMU or, you know, the benefit supper or to sing in the choir. John's job, his purpose, he was sent from God to bear witness to what he had met, what he knew about God. When Jesus Christ came to be baptized, John didn't point and say, look, I have heard he is the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. John said, look, behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. John's purpose was very simple, to bring all men to the light of the world. John was to be a witness. Now, here's where we really get down to the nitty-gritty of being a messenger. We are sent from God to do what? To be a witness to what we've heard. Now, if someone was to come up to me and tell me, say, tell me about Pansy Kaiser. Right off top of my head, I couldn't tell you her birthday. I couldn't tell you her address. I could tell you she's got a birthday. And I could take you to her house. And her address must be something about 22,000 something Poplar Tent Road would be my guess. I could tell you she's about 4 foot tall? I couldn't tell you what her favorite food was. I couldn't tell you what her favorite television show is. But I could tell you what I know about Pansy Kaiser. I could tell you I know Pansy Kaiser loves Jesus with all her heart. I could tell you Pansy loves her daughters more than she loves life itself. I could tell you she loved Bill. I could tell you a lot of things. Why could I tell you those things? Now, Martin might could tell you something different about Pansy. Suzanne might tell you something different. I can tell you what I know about Pansy. Give me a minute and I might even make up some stuff. But I can tell you what I know about Pansy. See, that's what our task is as messengers of Jesus Christ. See, for some reason, Satan has got us quiet because we think, well, I've got to be able to explain the book of Ezekiel. You know, I got to know what the wheel within a wheel means. I got to be able to explain red horses and yellow horses from Revelation. I've got to be able to explain Daniel and all his prophecies and visions. What God wants John to do is to be a witness. You've been sent from God to tell what you know about God. Every person in this room, just like I can tell you some things about Pansy because I've known her for now almost 23 years, I can tell you what I've learned about Pansy. You ought to be able to tell what you know about Jesus. If you've met him, you ought to be able to tell what you know about him. And if you can't tell what you know about him, I'm going to submit maybe you've never met him. Now, you may not like that, but prove me wrong. Because if I meet you once, I'll be able to tell something about you. I can meet you one time. And somebody come up and say, have you ever met Kevin Hootie? Yeah, I met him one time back a few months ago. I may not remember anything else. He's got a beard. I'll remember something about Kevin. And if you've met Jesus, John says our purpose is to tell the world what we know about Jesus. See, here's what it amounts to. You don't have to be able to explain Daniel. You don't have to be able to explain Revelation. But here's what you ought to be able to do. Every human being that knows Christ ought to be able to tell what your life was like before you met Christ. And you ought to be able to tell what your life is like now that you've met him. Amen. And by the way, there ought to be a difference in them two stories. John's purpose was simple. To tell what he knew about Christ for one reason, that all men might believe. That is our task. What has happened, I'm afraid, in the church in America today is we have tried to build the church. We have tried to build the music program. We've tried to build the Sunday school department. We've tried to build the youth department. We've tried to build the children's department. And we haven't been bringing people to Jesus. There's a difference. John was sent from God to bring people to Jesus. Plain and simple. That was it. See the person. You see his purpose. You see his position. Look what it says in the final verse introducing us to John. He was, it says, not that light. He wasn't God himself. Wasn't John's job to change them. It was John's job to introduce them. It wasn't John's job to save them. It wasn't John's job to force them to believe. It was John's job to introduce them. It is our job to introduce them. To introduce them. Meet Jesus, my dearest friend. That's our task. That's our message. That's our song. Again, he wasn't the light, but he was sent to tell what he knew about the light. Until the church of Jesus Christ in America gets that message through our hard head, we are doomed. It is not our job. You cut me and I bleed Sunday school green. Some of you know what I'm talking about. That old green we used to paint everything in the Baptist church. Nauseating color. I hate it. I don't like most any shade of green, but I really don't like that one. I've been Baptist longer than I've been Christian. I know Baptist doctrine upwards, backwards, forward, sideways. It's just all I know. Every now and then somebody will start talking about Methodist or Lutheran, and I just nod my head. I don't know nothing about them. I know they throw water at you. That's all I know. I know our water bill's more than theirs. That's all I know. My job is not to be the spokesperson for the Southern Baptist Convention. My job is not to build the Sunday school. My job is not even to preach. My job is to bear witness of that light. Wherever I go, whatever I do, in my home, at the grocery store, wherever I go, am I bearing witness of that light? I've used this illustration before, but it's a great one. You ever seen anybody get some new grandbabies? You meet them, and within a few minutes, you know they got a new grandbaby. Let them get a new car, and they'll bear witness to that new car. Let them get a new job, they'll bear witness to that new job. Win the lottery, I bet they'll tell you about how much they won. Meet Jesus, yeah. Maybe the reason we don't have a message is because we haven't been with the Master. You can only be sent from God if you've been with God. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I think it's odd that right after the introduction of Jesus Christ as the Word, as the Creator, the Sustainer of the universe, that we're introduced to a man. But then when you begin to look at it, it makes perfect sense. Because it has always been man's job to tell a lost and dying world about Jesus Christ. This morning I want to invite you to come and kneel at this altar. And I want you to wrestle with that question for a moment. If someone met you for the first time and they walked away 10 minutes later, what would they say if somebody were to walk up to them and say, "What's the most important thing in their life?" What would they say? Maybe we need to be spending some more time with the Master and less time with the Weather Channel. Maybe we need to be spending some more time in Scripture and less time with the newspaper. Then we'd be messengers. Then we could be sent. Then we'd have a message. You're here today and you know Christ is your Savior. Are you a messenger? Are you bearing witness? I'm not asking you. You're walking up and down the street, knocking on people's doors and asking them if they died tonight, would they go to heaven or hell? That's one way of doing it. But in our everyday conversation, in our dealing with people, do they hear Jesus? Do they see Jesus? Do they know we've been with Jesus? You need to come and kneel and say, Lord, make me a messenger. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You've never met Him as your personal Savior. You need to come today. See, just as John's purpose was to share the gospel so that all men could believe, the Bible says that his desire is that all would be saved, that none would perish. If you don't know him as your Savior, you need to come this morning. You've heard the message. You've heard the Word of God. Will we obey as we stand together?